Coming up on Patriots This Week, Broncos busted.
Touchdown, Patriots!
We got to give our players a lot of credit for the way they competed out there tonight. And I'm really proud of the way that they played.
Orange crushed.
Somehow makes the catch, bringing it in with his left hand.
Incredible. Check any better than that. That was unbelievable.
This rivalry matchup was a rout. A Patriot warning shot across the bow of the NFL.
That's how we want to play the game. That's how we need to play the game.
And though it's the bye week in Foxborough, the work to be a champion never stops.
There's really no days off. We'll take this time as an opportunity to really get ahead on Indianapolis.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
Chicken parm, you taste so good. No, you don't, because Peyton Manning probably had sour stomach after the Denver Broncos got thrashed in Foxborough, 43-21. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Patriots This Week. I'm Scott Zolak, obviously. Alongside each and every week, my man, Jermaine Wiggins, former tight end, former linebacker, Matt Chatham, here to break it down for you. Each and every week, guys, did anybody see this one coming against the Broncos? Start you, Matt. What surprised you the most out of this game?
Surprised me the most that there was no run game. Either side. I mean, either side.
It was so talked about coming in.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the kind of game you want to see play out eight more times. I don't think that's something you could gamble on that's going to continue. But really, for either of those teams, you're going to go back and try to figure things out and say, you know, we stopped their run, they stopped our run, and we were able to put up all those points. So I think that's one of those things that might be a little bit of an anomaly in the NFL. You got away with one, and you're still able to sort of light up the scoreboard.
There's no run game, and the Patriots go out there and throw the football, and I don't think Brady got sacked the whole day. You know, when you look at it, to me, he was untouched. I think he did a great job in the pocket. So the offensive line, that's telling me they've done a tremendous job. Because what do we talk about? Von Miller, Marcus Ware, that's all we talk about. No run game. So you can't really slow those guys down. And they go out there, and Brady throws the ball. He's lights out. And they do a good job of keeping Brady upright.
It was funny talking about the running game. You know, if you don't have a running game, you normally don't have a play-action game. Yet, New England had this massive play-action game. But I think it's the whole action of it. I think it's the quarterback showing football. You know, we've talked about this on other shows. Put it in the cavity of the running back. You know, sell that. And it just, Matt, you played linebacker. You know, you've got to respect the run when you see a quarterback give the ball, right?
Yeah, and part of it is it's down and distance tendencies. Like, you have to know, like, you know, you've come in, you spent all week studying something. Okay, and if they lined up in a certain thing and he showed you that play action.
And it's not play action.
You got to honor it, though, but you got to honor it. So sometimes it's the keys. How well do the linemen in front of you sell it? If the offensive linemen sold it each time, even though they weren't doing it still affects the linebacking
group. And as a tight end who runs a lot of routes off of play action, if that quarterback really sells it,
it
helps out tremendously. You can get that one little step up for that linebacker, and you're gone.
Brady threw the ball 50-some times, but Gronkowski was on the field for 49 of those attempts. Of the 49 attempts, he had a free release into coverage 43 times.
Rob Gronkowski is not like any other tight end that I've ever seen in the National Football League. Ever. I'm talking all time. And how do you not jam this guy up at the line of scrimmage? How do you not reroute him second level so you can at least slow him down if he does get on your safety or if you happen to put a corner on him, you slow him down. To me, that's mind-boggling. I remember, and I'm nowhere near Rob Gronkowski, that teams would jam and they would hammer like we talked about.
At least get a wing on
something. And it just baffles me that we see not just the Denver Broncos, but it seems like week in and week out, we see him free release, free release, free release. I just don't get it.
We see how Browner on the other side is willing to set a tone, set a style, and take a call or two or three. I wrote about this leading into the game that, you know, this is one of those games where, you know what, all that matters is a red zone anyway. And it goes against my sort of Belichick DNA to say these kind of things, but I felt like sacrificing a few plays to set the tone wasn't a bad deal. Can you imagine what tone that would have said, or even a signal to Tom to say that Gronk's not available? If a defensive end just tackled him at the line of scrimmage once, if a linebacker on the second level just made an effort to not let him off the ball, but to give him this crazy free release. To me, it's asinine. It's just, that is, in my view, a bad coaching, because a player is just running the play that's been called.
The touchdown he catches where he's lined up outside and Von Miller walks outside with him. If you're Von Miller in that situation, you got to be like, let me get as physical as I can with this guy. And rather than just standing there and just look at him, give you a little quick outside move. And that's the thing that impresses me about Gronkowski. He gives a little wiggle at the line thinking, hey, I got some shake too. And Von Miller's frozen and he catches a slit. That was like a play that you run and warm-ups against air. That's how easy that throw and catch
was. So let me tell you why that happened. So Von Miller watches film, like every player watches film. His rule as an end-of-the-line player was to go with the guy in motion. He's like, oh, no, I don't want to be out here.
He's not a cover guy. He's a rush guy.
But you know what? Sometimes you have rules. So a lot of times on the offense, that's manipulating the defense and understanding if we do this particular shift in motion,
advantage
then
Josh.
Put him out. Exactly, yeah, absolutely. But why that happened? Von Miller watched the Chicago game the week before. He watched those same goal line segments where Gronk was aligned out.
Yep.
And remember, the perfect coverage in the hip pocket, yep, by the other linebacker with the outside release. He couldn't make that play.
Yeah.
So he overplayed that particular shake, the wiggle at the line, because he didn't want to have it happen to him as well.
But don't you got to be physical with Gronk? No, you have to be. If you're a linebacker in that situation, whether he's going to run the fade route, which is the little move to the back pylon, or he runs the slant route, which is the one he caught the touchdown, I think in that situation, you just have to be physical.
You got to try to.
Take your chance, lock up, and maybe the ref won't throw the
foot. But where this matters is now watch them play the next time. Okay, so pay attention. It's 2 weeks in a row. One where he got the same alignment, took him to the fade, and it was easy. Then he walks in as if nothing happens on the slant. Now you're that next defensive linebacker that lined over him. You've seen your last two reps. Yeah. To your point, you better just go get him because you can't be guessing on which it's going to be.
I still hold my breath at times when he gets hit. I know it was a legal hit by T.J. Ward because he went down low. Mm-hmm. But to the technical part of the rule, when you go to a defenseless player's head and you lead with the crown of your helmet, that was with intent to injure.
Mm-hmm.
Ward led with the crown of the helmet on the kneecap.
I thought it was dirty because I know it just looked like he was going a little bit lower than normal. Normally, when you think low, a guy's going through your thigh pad.
He hurt himself, Lee, with
helmet. Well, normally you go through the thigh pad. It seemed like he was around the knee. And I'm not saying that the Patriots didn't do it on the other side as well. But I know from playing, and Matt, you can attest to this, you're a defensive player. When you know that a guy's injured or he has a certain place on his body.
Merriweather's done it. I'm just saying it's the intent. The player's got a history.
You asked me if I felt like it was dirty. I know it was plays. We say, hey, go after that guy.
Let me put it this way. I played you. You cut at the knee a lot.
And here's the thing.
And you have no problem doing it.
Yeah.
Or were you a dirty player? No, of course not. You did what you had to do. In that example, you're cutting guys who are smaller than you when you're doing it. This guy is cutting a guy who's bigger than him at the knee. So the idea that the media people are sort of critiquing what that guy has to do his job, what he's doing is clean. And as I mentioned, go back and watch the film. Guys across the league on this team as well tackle the exact same way.
Good. I think he's a dirty player. I'm going to stick by
it. And you're wrong.
I cut all the time.
And you're wrong. Never tackled a man in your life.
That's right. But I have tackled people on interceptions. They're usually with the spear in the back.
I don't know what I'm talking
about. I had a guy laying in the back, not in the knee. Hey, I'd rather have you hit in the back or up above the head instead of getting hit in the knee. Let's talk about Julian Edelman real quick, guys. As good as Edelman is a receiver, how important is he to this team as a kick returner?
As a punt return guy. There's often a pre-snap call. You go to the line, you have a sense of where it's going to go. If you look back at that play, they doubled one of the sides and didn't double the other. Usually the double side means that's where they want the return to go because they don't want the guy and that guy to get down the field and make the play. The return ended up actually going back to the single side, which means that Edelman really improvised. He kind of made that play. So obviously a great, great individual effort on his part. But what was nice is all the other guys that were coming down the field realized that he started improvising and flipped their own leverage. And that's tough to do. It's very difficult as a blocker for a good returner, having to do it with Troy Brown for all those years. It's much the same. You have to kind of get a read on what you think he might do, feeling space on the field yourself, and then getting in there and getting sort of and helping him on his way. I mean, that was a great cumulative effort across the board.
All right, guys, good stuff. We got to talk about the AFC coming up because there are some teams that have flipped the script. 4 weeks ago, maybe out of the race. All of a sudden, some teams are back in it, and Drew Bledsoe takes a shot at the New York Jets. That's all next on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots, and by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots, and Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight shines on Julian Edelman. The seventh-round pick out of Kent State once again showed how his punt return skills can change a game. This 84-yard return against the Broncos was the fourth time in his career he's brought one to the end zone. And his 12.5-yard return average is the best in the NFL in 55 years. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
All right, welcome back to the show here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. As much as we talk about Peyton Manning or Tom Brady having great years as quarterbacks, there's a guy in Pittsburgh that 4 weeks ago we had as good as dead. Ben Roethlisberger, through the last 2 weeks, guys, has thrown for 862 yards, 12 touchdowns. He's thrown a couple picks, but oh well. The 12 touchdowns, he's putting his team in the end zone, 6-6. He's had as good a two-game stretch in the history of the league as there's ever been. Are you guys buying or selling Pittsburgh?
I'm in for this point because the defense has been playing along with them okay. Early in the season, that was not a Pittsburgh defense. They were struggling. So, yeah, Ben's putting up video game numbers, but the defense has played modestly well at the same time. The thing when you watch Ben, though, what he's been doing really well in the last couple weeks is starting to move safeties and move defenses with his shoulders. He hangs in there, has done a great job of looking people off, and that's something we've seen Brady do here a lot. You go back and look at a couple of those touchdowns on last week's game where he just stared down the safety, stared, until there's no chance you can get to the out or you can get to the outside sort of fade pattern, and then just sets it right in there. He's not been a technical guy in his career. He's been a sling it and run around guy. He got technical in the last few weeks, and I think that's part of why he did so well.
Are you buying Pittsburgh?
I'm buying Pittsburgh. I am buying Pittsburgh. The reason why I'm buying Pittsburgh is because you talk about Ben Roethlisberger, and here's a guy that's won two Super Bowls. You look at Mike Tomlin as their head coach. Another coach has been in the Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl. You look at the team. They have veterans on the defensive side of the ball, and granted, they're a little bit long in the tooth, but there's a team that has experience, that has some leadership.
Brought Harrison back, too, so now he's kind of giving a little bit of an edge up front.
They brought Harrison back, and so when you look at this team, I think here's a team that, you know, I don't want to say similar to the Patriots, but they're a team that, you know, maybe they didn't start as fast as they would like, but they know what it takes to kind of kick it up and get it going. And we hear Bill say it's all about November and December, and I think Pittsburgh is a team just like that.
All right, we got to talk about the New York Jets, because this past week during practice, there was a plane that flew over that had a sign that said, "Fire John Idzik." Jets fans have raised $10,000 to put up a billboard near the complex at Florham Park. And Drew Bledsoe, my old buddy, went on a talk show and said the New York Jets have thrown Mark Sanchez under the bus. He's actually rooting for him to do well and thinks he will do well in Philadelphia. And I agree with him on this. You've been with the Jets. We've all been with the Jets at one point or another. This is pretty comical. I mean, the Jets, it's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, it's just we all also know that there's that weird relationship in that town because of the second, you know, the little brother. I mean, there's so
Yankees,
much
Yankees Mets.
Yeah, and there's so much pressure for them to do it. And when they miss on the quarterback position where it looks like they have, even with Mark Sanchez, I mean, I know he's an easy target, but you know, he actually had some early success and didn't get it done late himself.
Is it Mark Sanchez? Was it the coaching staff? Did they not give him the right type of quarterback coach, that kind of thing? So ultimately, at the end of the day, when I look at the Jets organization, it starts from the top down. And to me, that thing is in shambles.
All right, good stuff right there. Hey, there's no game this week, so we're not making any big predictions. We're not going to make anybody any money out there, not that we have. But we're going to talk about some of the surprises here with the Patriots. And is there a power shift in the AFC? That's all next on the show. All right, since it is the bye week, we don't have an opponent we're going to break down. What we're going to break down is the catch of the year, the play of the year. Rob Gronkowski, big number 87. Stop it right there. I don't want you to move anywhere. Here's why this works. You look at Gronk. He's in the offset, meaning off the line of scrimmage, not up on Sebastian Vollmer, which means this guy right here, Von Miller, can't get the jam on him, meaning free release. But look at this. One guy, two guy, three guy. I look at that as like a triple coverage right now. So go ahead, run a snap. This is great, this angle. Look at the free release he gets. Boom, up on the safety. I mean, Brady throws this ball basically up into triple coverage. You'll get a better look at it right here. Freeze it right there. Now, if I'm playing quarterback back in the day, back in the mid-90s, I do this, I'm out of the league probably within 3 weeks because you got two underneath linebackers. You got a safety that's got pretty good positioning. By the way, that's TJ Ward, so how do you like this, number 43? He still puts it up there, goes backwards, catches it with the big left paw. And you're going to love this view. freeze it right there. Okay, Brady wanted to go to him right there, but right there, the mic was underneath him, meaning undercutting right here, undercutting here. Recoils, go ahead and roll the tape. Brady resets, put it up in the area where only the big guy can get it. We call that catch radius, a radius all around number 87. Hey, when you got Buzz Lightyear running in the middle of the field, everybody's going to Disney World. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
All right, this is Patriots This Week here inside the Bob Discount Furniture Studio. And, guys, we've got to talk about a power shift maybe taking place in the NFL. Right now, 12 teams in the AFC have winning records. That's teams that have records above 500. Six teams in the NFC have records above 500. What the heck's going on in Seattle and San Francisco? A guy like Kaepernick, your boy, you like him.
I did like him.
You did.
See, I did. He said
he's
did.
Like Terry Glenn, D-I-D did.
I did.
He did like him. How does Kaepernick get sacked 8 times at home against the Rams?
I think the problem with Kaepernick is at times he gets so caught into staring down receivers that he ultimately forgets he has these tremendous legs on him that he can run the football.
I mean, that's embarrassing for Harbaugh.
And he tries to make so many things happen with his arm. At times, do what you've done before. And I think he's kind of changed a little bit where he's gotten nervous because people have always said he's a running quarterback. And so he tries to stay in there a little bit longer and show, hey, I can throw with the best of them.
They didn't even attempt to run the ball. Roman, the offensive coordinator there, why they went to a pass-first approach with that guy? Makes no sense to me. Have that guy drop back in 45. You know he's going to pass it 45 times. You're not going to win.
But you have Arizona sitting there at 7-1. Hey, guys, Super Bowl's in Glendale, Arizona. Do you really think that the Arizona Cardinals are a real team? Are they the Kansas City Chiefs of last year?
I think the situation in Arizona is a unique one, though, because they've won with two different quarterbacks, so it's a little bit tenuous. I mean, we've seen a couple good games out of Carson Palmer. He threw 3 touchdowns last week, looked pretty good, but part of those victories are also on the shoulders of Drew Stanton. Yeah. It's a team that might be buffered for the long run. One guy I should mention, beyond any guy on the field, Bruce Arians. He might be your coach of the year in the NFL thus far.
He does a nice job.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, I think the NFC is, when you look at who might be the best team, it's just so more, it's a lot more wide open than the AFC.
All right, how about MVP? Let's talk about that real quick because it's kind of what we do here at the break. Patriots are on the bye. Offensive MVP, I think obviously Tom Brady's got to be in the mix.
Yep.
Gronkowski is a tight end maybe? Does the relationship with Brent either one or the other?
The problem comes is if Gronkowski's having a tremendous year, then that means the guy throwing the football is having just as good of a year.
Roethlisberger.
Yeah, well, Ben's got some bad weeks.
He does.
And you know what? And honestly, if you want to do it the same way, it's not a stat accumulation thing. It's steady performance. And I don't actually don't think
22-3.
I know
good.
It's pretty good. And you look at I don't know. I think it's a little more of a wide open race. Put it this way, J.J. Watt was in the conversation earlier this season.
I like him too.
And continues to play well on a team that's not winning. I don't think you have a runaway winner, which makes this thing a little more fun. It's almost like Heisman to Wiggy's point. If you're gonna start talking about the guy that catches it, most likely it's going to go to the guy that threw it.
All right, guys, start thinking about what this Patriots record is going to be, because when we come back, we're going to tell you how this team is going to finish when Patriots This Week continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam. New ways of thinking for financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. And by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
Mark Ingram continues to churn out good performances. The former Heisman winner and Saints running back has 6 TDs in 5 games. Start him at home against a Niners team that's struggling. Doug Baldwin has underperformed this year. The Seattle wideout has just 1 TD, and he suffered a groin injury against Oakland last week. Sit him at home against the Giants. Looking for a sleeper to start? Pick up Bobby Rainey of Tampa. The Bucs' back is averaging more than 4.5 yards a carry and could break out for a big game against the Falcons. Never miss a Patriots game this season with the combined power of NFL Mobile and Fios Quantum TV and Internet. Exclusively from Verizon.
All right, welcome back to the show here. And since we are in the bye, obviously no game, no score to pick. But what we're going to do is pick the final record for the New England Patriots at the end of the year. Matt, at the beginning of the year, well, I mean, you picked against the team once this year. So how do you have him finishing the year?
Well, just to be safe from a probability standpoint, I guess I'll tack on one more loss. But you'll watch as we go on and do the rest of the show this year. I'll never actually choose that loss. So sometime they'll happen to be 13-3 because you don't think they'll show up once. But let's think about it. Indy, Green Bay. I can't find a team on the schedule that I don't think they're better than them. What you're more gambling against is they have a bad week and they just don't show up.
Well, when you grow up here and you're a local homer and you never pick against a team like Jermaine Wiggins, what do you got? What do you
listen,
get the Patriots?
I was going to say they go 14-2 and run the table, but I'm going to say that if I put a question mark on that 14-2, it's going to be the Green Bay Packers, and they ultimately go 13-3. But I'm leaning towards 14-2, so we'll go 13-3.
Funny how that San Diego game all of a sudden is not so tough a game right now. I'm with you guys. I'm going to give them room for one more hiccup. Sitting there at 7-2, I got them finishing at 13-3. That's pretty darn good. That's going to do it for this week's edition, the bye week edition of Patriots This Week. For Matt Chatham, for Jermaine Wiggins, I'm Scott Zolak. Thanks for watching. See you next time on Patriots This Week.